A weak solidarity brekkie team listener when, sadly, a major threat has emerged to the economic recovery and to the hopes of controlling inflation. Wages. Evil unions have announced they will be demanding wage increases of 5 to 6% as wages fall behind the soaring cost of living increases. Those who comprehend the delicate flower that is the economy looked aghast, pointing out responsibly this would threaten the economic recovery and sabotage hopes that inflation will recede. The common sense of caring employers was put logically by our favourite spokesperson for Trublowati oligarchs. Industry profits groups Innes will cost the workers. Union claims for blanket 5 to 6% wage increases betray their lack of understanding of both how the economy works and the current significant pressures on business as they try to recover from once-in-a-lifetime century economic shock. Is that similar to the once-in-a-century natural disasters that now occur once a week or so, in this case especially when evil unions suggest major threats like wage increases? Yes, you could say that, and that only highlights how irresponsible evil unions are, that they would threaten economic shock after economic shock. Which bit of how the economy works don't evil unions understand in us? The relationship between profits and wages, how wages restrict economic growth and that economic growth is good for all of us. Growth like the record profits, hundreds of percent in some cases, many, many times 5 to 6%, Trublowati oligarchs have been announcing. Exactly, and that growth will trickle down through sensible wage increases when the time is right. Which will be? We'll let you know. Oh, goody. So we urge irresponsible evil unions to hold fire, stop threatening the economic recovery, stop undermining inflation, stop betraying their economic ignorance, and wait for Innes and our oligarchs to tell us when the time is right. More shattering news this week affecting us all, listener. A blatant and unjust attack on our oligarchical family trusts by the bloody tax department, which has no right to interfere in our affairs, which are, after all, a matter between us and our tax accountants and tax lawyers. No business whatever of the tax department and the bloody government. Yet, the tax department announced it will introduce new rules for family trusts after a long investigation into anti-avoidance measures, the assumption being that our family trusts avoid, when we know they simply allow us to meet our legal tax obligations. That's why we pay those exorbitant, but value-for-money fees to accountants and tax lawyers. Our anger expressed for all of us by Tony Greco of the Institute of Public Accountants. All of a sudden, Tony was distressed. Basic transactions involving trusts are now open to indefinite scrutiny. The updated guidance has shifted the goalposts for the way a trustee allocates trust income to beneficiaries in a tax-effective way. Tax-effective, Tony? Well, yes, it means effectively they pay no tax, but, and I can't stress this strongly enough, but these people meet their legal tax obligations. And now? And now they'll have to pay us more so that under the shifted goalposts they can continue to meet their legal tax obligations. God, it's a worry, but there is some hope. The Tax Institute questioned whether the tax office should use limited resources to review these arrangements at all, and will make representations to the tax office, and no doubt to senior government ministers, on behalf of those families who are so close-knit and family-oriented that they have their little family trusts. Absolutely, what a waste of resources trying to get the filthy rich to pay taxes when we all know they already meet their, well, we all know. And I told you, this affected us all. And it's not that a bit of sensible lobbying for a worthy cause can't be effective. Like that bloody tax, as the industry calls it, levy, the state government names it, of a crippling 1.75% on windfall profits from land rezoning and property developments to be used to provide social and community housing. They never used the word public housing anymore. The money would have been handed to private organisations who can handle these things much more efficiently than the bloated hand of the public sector. Anyway, the mere suggestion causing the development and property industry to reach for the smelling salts and splutter as they regained their voices that this would be the end of the world as we know it, and particularly the end of young couples, young first home buyers, being able to afford that first home. And that is their sole concern. No self-interest, no care for their own profits, just their altruistic regard for young true blue Aussies. Thankfully, they agreed not to oppose a related change which would streamline planning approvals and zoning changes, pouring trillions in windfall profits into their coffers, which presumably they would use to make it even easier for young couples to buy their first home. As they screamed and yelled about the levy, or sorry, tax, the federal socialists reputedly panicked that the 1.75% could lead to the socialists being accused of being a high tax party. And thus, as the property industry screamed and yelled, the proposed levy for social, not public housing lasted about 3.5 minutes, give or take. Top marks to the state socialists for courage under fire. They're also proposing stronger environmental regulation, stronger energy efficiency standards for new housing, and again, the industry is upset, nay, stronger, righteously up in arms that this too will lead to increasing the cost to first home buyers, their sole concern, altruism upon altruism. Except a separate report by a house mortgage group excitedly assesses that house and land prices in the very urban fringe areas where many first home buyers first home buy are going through the roof, pun unavoidable, and the same industry concerned about increasing costs for these people is popping the corks and celebrating that prices are soaring. Dear me, for so caring and selfless an industry, there must be a much simpler explanation than hypocrisy and greed. Especially when reports also tell us those soaring costs of living increases are hitting those same areas hardest, those same people about whom the industry so cares hardest. Oh, and the federal caring business class party unaffordable housing minister Michael Sucker up to Capitol accused the state socialists of increasing the tax burden on all Victorians, which we don't doubt must be true, can't doubt from so important a personage. But Michael, a little explanation of how a 1.75% levy, sorry, a tax on property developers and speculators in the home construction industry would be a tax on all of us. And we all appreciate Michael's contribution to the housing affordability crisis, like attacking any attempt to address it. Another minister taking her job very seriously, the Minister for Pollution, Susan Lees and Dregs, took these young environmentalists to court to argue that she had no responsibility of care for them in assessing all the new fossil projects she keeps approving, overturning an earlier irrational federal court ruling that she does have a duty of care. Obviously, I can't keep approving these important national projects if I have to take their environmental impacts into consideration, she made a telling point, which shows how juvenile and puerile and irresponsible and anti-true blue Aussie these young people are. She got stuck into a bit of tautology as she came up with a fail-safe plan to thwart any other juvenile, puerile, irresponsible, anti-true blue Aussie attempts to impede progress. We will declare all these fossil-rich areas where the industry wants to benefit the country by exporting it exempt from environmental considerations, or more correctly, we will conduct a generic environmental approval process for all of them so applications can be approved immediately, knowing they will meet my very strict environmental pollution standards. One of the esteemed corporations long respected for observing strict environmental standards and which announced record profits in the hundreds of percent, Woodside with profit supremo Kevin Gallbladder of Piss, told us how the fossil giants generally would achieve zero emissions by 2050, presuming optimistically the planet is still here. We will still need fossils and we will still have emissions, he prognosticated. But Kevin, how is that zero emissions? Quite simply, we will plant a tree in Java. But surely zero emissions means zero emissions, no emissions. As our very good friend Innes Wilcox, the workers, explained, that question betrays your ignorance of how our economy works. One of the conga line of US, of the UN, of the US, of the world experts, the ABC, dredges up to inform us how evil, evil Russia is. This one with a euphemistic title that sounds quite passive, but was stunned by the Russian bombing of a site near the Polish border, the International Peacekeeping and Security Center, clearly a benign establishment devoted to peace and security. Wanton destruction of all that is good. And it wasn't until some time later, another interviewee was asked why they would bomb a center so devoted to international peacekeeping and security, that a slightly different story emerged. I'm surprised it took them so long, he expressed surprise, because it turns out the title was also a euphemism, because the Peacekeeping Security Center was the pipeline for US-OB NATO weaponry entering Ukraine and the headquarters for the US-OB training of Ukraine-trained killers. Perhaps not a euphemism, for the US-OB knows that war is peace, trained killing is security. And while none of this justifies putting the trained killers' thuggery and slaughter, a little bit of honesty in the conga line of pro-US-OB interviewees wouldn't go astray. On the US-OB, new biography of our former great and beloved big supremo nuclear hawk himself says he's very, very, very close buddy, former US-OB big supremo George Bash the Workers Sr., choked up with emotion when he saw nuclear hawk relegated to the back bench after poor Nuke was knocked off by the world's greatest worst ex-treasurer, Paul. And I thought, I know how he felt, because I choked up when I saw nuclear hawk on the front bench. Last week, we conceded the government was being honest for once in its tele-ads promoting its environmental credentials. Rubbish, 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 the ad admits, and we have to make the same concession to Lord Rupert of Wapping for ads for his pay TV pie-in-the-sky so-called news commentary. A full-page ad, photos of the usual suspect Lord Rupert acolytes, Bolt through the head, Peter Incredible et al., admitting, inquiring minds demand more honest views. What a refreshing bout of honesty. They certainly do, and they're certainly not going to get them from Lord Rupert, and here he is admitting it. Finally, he doesn't say 3CR is the place for inquiring minds to get more honest views, but stuff false modesty, we'll say it. Good morning.